this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Greetings, my friend. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents... places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
It's alive! It's alive! It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. As a matter of fact, listen to this story. Biologists now have successfully injected human eyeballs with night vision. That's right. They are playing around with a chemical called chlorine, which is found in several deep-sea fish and used as an occasional method to treat night blindness. Researchers have injected the chemical into what is called the conjunctival sac on the underside of a human eye. The man who was the guinea pig for the experiment, named Gabriel Lacina, said he had his eyeballs stretched open, clockwork orange style. Said, quote, "To me, it was a quick greenish-black blur across my vision, and then it dissolved into my eyes," end quote. To see how it worked, researchers took him out at night into a very dark field. They said the things he could see were insane. They had hung a variety of shapes around 30 feet away from him, and these were shapes that were maybe the size of a human hand. He was able to make out each one of them clearly. Says he was able to eventually even see longer distances, recognizing symbols and identifying moving subjects against different backgrounds. He says, quote, "The other test was we had people go stand in the woods, and at around 130 feet, we could figure out clearly where they were, even if they were standing up against a tree," end quote. Each time, this man had a 100% success rate, and right now, they're trying to determine what the long-term effects of this are. There are a lot of questions that are not answered in this story, such as how long does this effect last, and what happens if you do this during the daytime? Are you just blinded by the light? All I can tell you is that, hey, if you thought the men in black weren't creepy enough already, now apparently they can run around and see in the dark with their naked eyes. Well, we have all kinds of weird things we're going to dig into tonight. Fittingly enough, here this first Speaking of Strange of April, because as you may or may not know, April is always a weird month, and we'll get back into that a bit more later. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is the indubitable Sam, the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, tonight and every night. I'm your producer. Not just tonight, more often than not.
Somewhere out there at all times, you were available producing something.
Thank God I don't have to produce like your entire life, just a few hours of it.
That is true. It'd be hard to keep up with. But okay. And, of course, we have also in the studio tonight another woman who is creeping around in the dark and the shadows, slithering under boulders. She probably has her own form of cat-like night vision. Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. How are you doing, Shelley?
I'm great. And it's so funny that you should say my own version of cat vision. I am wearing my cat eye glasses tonight. Yes.
Are you?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Oh, see?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, cat's eye glasses.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm doing great. Yeah, how are you?
Well, you know, guys, this is a very exciting time and a very hectic time. For one thing, right now I am working on three major paranormal cases. One of them is a major UFO case. The other two are major ghost photo cases. Now, I should be able to give you a more complete report on next week's show, but let me just put it this way. There was a UFO event of historic, truly worldwide historic proportions that occurred down here in Puerto Rico. And this the incident occurred years back, but it happened in a very remote area that is practically inaccessible now unless you go through some real hoops to get access, and then you have to trek off to a very rugged and potentially dangerous area in the wilderness to make it to this site. And I just attained permission to take a very small expedition to this site over the next few days. And so if everything works out well, and of course this is weather dependent, I'm going to be able to go to this site and collect information that may be earth-shattering. And if that all works out, then I'm going to have one hell of a report for all of you on next weekend's Speaking of Strange. So that's one big thing I'm working on. And then as far as the ghost photo stuff, I'm going to have to do a little bit of traveling to look into those. So to me, this is just the year is really, really taking off when it comes to paranormal stuff. And, of course, as I mentioned, it is April. And, you know, Sam the Animal Steel, you, sir, began producing this program, if I'm not mistaken, May of last year. Does that sound about right to you?
Man, how time flies. Has it been that long?
I'm pretty sure. So that means next month you will have been producing this show for a year.
Do I get a Cookie Puss ice cream cookie cake? You going to send one down?
I will arrange a Cookie Puss for you.
That'd be pretty cool.
And so the reason I mention it is that you weren't producing last April. And every April on this show, I have to remind people about why that April is such a weird, extraordinary month. And so I think you'll be hearing some of this for the first time, Sam, so you're going to find this fascinating. Hour number two of the show, I'm going to go down the list of why April is so weird and messed up, and we're going to even add some stuff to that list because, after all, hey, it starts off with April Fool's Day, and from there, you know, it just gets stranger and stranger. A lot of tragedies and paranormal stuff have happened in April. And, of course, tomorrow is Easter. And so also in hour number two, we're going to talk a little bit about the concept of miracles. And I want you to realize that I know a lot of people, they say, well, we're going to talk about miracles. And all they do is they go down a list of examples of supposed miracles. Well, we're not going to do that. I will give you some examples of things that I think are interesting. But I want to really look at the concept of miracles from a very sort of scientific and physical point of view, defining the exact kind of mechanics of how it is possible for the very fabric of reality to actually break down for a split second in time and allow something to happen that is completely unexplainable. And, you know, Shelley, I hope that you don't mind me bringing this up without asking you first, but you were telling me that you were having a conversation recently with somebody about the paranormal and Christianity. And you brought up a very good point related to Easter. Would you like to repeat that?
Let me think here.
Do you remember?
I believe that he told me. It was Jesus rose from the dead. That's as paranormal as you can get. I believe that those were my very words.
Yeah, and I've always felt that it's amazing to me how many people are, they call themselves Christians or they follow some other type of religion which is based upon the foundation of a spiritual world and all of these, you know, beings that do things that are absolutely extraordinary, and yet somehow they don't see how that seamlessly fits into the idea of the paranormal. I've always said, to me, the most paranormal book in the world is the Bible. And yes, not least of which being the figure of Jesus coming back from the dead, or anybody else coming back from the dead, for that matter. And so it is interesting to kind of, you know, take a look at some of those things that people feel familiar with, that they talk about over and over every year for their whole lives, but they never pause and think from an outside perspective just how strange and mysterious and paranormal these things really are. So we're going to dig into all that kind of stuff a little bit as well. I know we're coming up on a break here soon. When we return from this break, I want to go ahead and tell you guys there was a really interesting story that I just read. It was printed in Fox News. And maybe you are kind of a fan of these Terminator movies where it all boils down to some form of man versus machine. Or, of course, we've talked a lot on this program about what exactly it means for humankind, for AI, for artificial intelligence to reach a certain point of advancement and evolution where we have to wonder, are they going to start not only developing feelings that we have to contend with, but what if they develop skills that are so superior to ours that they eventually can start, well, killing us and taking over the world?
That would be a question where it's like, if you have a car that is capable of steering and driving for you and slamming on the brakes when need be, what is presented when it's given the option between plowing, you know, into a pedestrian, killing that person, or saving you from, plowing into the pedestrian? Now it's making judgment calls on whose life is more important.
Well, that's a very good example of a practical scenario that we will have to deal with at some point. And when we come back, I want you all to hear this machine story that I read. This one just blew my mind because a Chinese research team has developed a shape-shifting liquid metal machine, and this thing is able to eat on its own.
And its name is Verato.
And use energy from that to propel itself. I will explain when we get back. And I have another crazy story about what happened to a woman when she reached under her bed. You don't think there are real boogeymen out there? Maybe you'll feel differently later. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Get up.
Broadcasting from the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains and hosting from the center of the Bermuda Triangle, Puerto Rico, hitchhiking the ET Highway, I'm Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird. And this is Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And mind you, you can and should call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. Trust me, a lot of people do it every day. In fact, Shelley gets calls from listeners from all over the United States, and yes, plenty of them also just walk right in the door. So, again, that number is 828-298-5402. There's also a link to Wright's Coin Shop if you go to speakingofstrange.com. You'll also find a live chat during the show and regular updates on weird news around the world, links to stuff like the haunted Asheville ghost tours. And this is a good time for me to tell you all that I did a little tease on the show last week. I said that I was planning a big event in Asheville on Sunday, July the 19th of 2015. Well, now I'm ready to give you the details. So I want all of you listening to take a moment, take out your calendar if you need to, grab a pen, write down what's going to happen, because on that day, July 15th, I am going to produce and host in Asheville, in the theater of the Asheville Masonic Temple, a wishing machine extravaganza. That means we are going to have a workshop and then a private cocktail party. And then we're going to have a ghost tour where you get to go around and see all the mysterious sights around downtown Asheville at night. And then some special things that will be on display back at my Asheville Mystery Museum. And as if that weren't enough, you should also know that for this event, for the first, last, and only time, the mysterious Dr. Mulder, the man who actually makes the machines, is also going to be there to meet you and mingle with you. Plus, he is going to bring with him an artifact, if you will, an object that has never, ever before been put on display. This is something that he only keeps in his workshop. He actually has one of the big antique wooden cabinet radionics machines that was owned and used by the legendary Dr. Thomas Galen Hieronymus. Now, if you're into radionics, you know the significance of that name. He was born in 1895. He died in the 1980s. Hieronymus even had U.S. patents related to radionics. And this big old heavy machine is something that is usually only there in Dr. Mulder's workshop, because he even uses it and incorporates it into his work. Well, he's going to load that thing onto a truck and bring it up, and you are going to get an opportunity to actually not only see this rare historic machine, but even touch it and feel the energy for yourself. Now, this whole deal, it lasts 8 hours, okay? It starts at 1 p.m. on that Sunday. And that's where we're going to have the workshop, where I'm going to give you a big multimedia presentation about the wishing machine, how it works, answer questions, help you understand how you can use it to improve your finances, your health, your relationships, all those things you've been hearing about. And then we'll have, of course, a little intermission. That'll go on till about 4 or 4:30. Then we're going to move over to another location where we have our private cocktail party. You can only walk in that door if you have one of the tickets and you're part of the event. And then after that is when you get the special ghost tour. And then after that is the stuff at the museum. We'll be done by about 9 p.m. And I wanted to make this as affordable as possible, since it's happening there in Asheville, my hometown. So right now, if you get your ticket, the early bird price, while we still have seats left, I assure you, is $99 per person. Now, when I just did my Sedona Wishing Machine Workshop, tickets cost almost $400 a person. Okay, so to be able to do all this for $99 is pretty insane. So what you need to do right now is go to any of our websites. Will have links. There's a link at speakingofstrange.com. There's a link at joshuapwarren.com. But you can go directly to the site where all the info is, wishingmachineproject.com. Click the link to the workshop. And we're going to have a lot of kind of VIP folks there in attendance anyway. In fact, I have permission to tell all of you that one of the people who is going to be there at this event, a lady who is flying all the way from Washington State just to be there for this, none other than New York Times best-selling romance novelist Linda Lell Miller.
Shelley, your mom's going to be,
Yeah, she's going to be elated. I'm glad she's going to be there. I'm excited. I'm going to be there.
Josh, is that the 19th or the 15th?
19th.
That's going to be on the 19th. Yeah, it's Sunday, July 19th of 2015, starting at 1 p.m. And there is, you know, you can park right next to the Masonic Temple there for a small fee, or any of the public spaces in Asheville are free on a Sunday. Eat lunch before you come. Do that on your own. Get there about 12:45, and you're gonna. I mean, I've told people, do what you have to do to be there for this, because I'm staking my reputation on the fact this is going to be one of the best days of your life. It's going to open your mind. It's going to improve your life. I guarantee you. And everybody has to take this opportunity. So, Sam, you're going to be there, right?
I thought you were going to be announcing me. You're going to be like, and we are going to be having the illustrious flying in from Arden, North Carolina.
Shelley, you're right. You're going to be there.
I will be there.
And there are other VIPs who I don't want to mention their name until I have their permission, but it's just going to be fantastic. So, again, go to wishingmachineproject.com. You have to buy your ticket online, so do it right now. Okay, let's move on here. I mentioned before the break this pretty incredible story from China. It's being reported by Fox News. They say, no, this isn't the idea for a new Terminator sequel. Scientists from both the Technical Institute of Physics and Chemistry at the Chinese Academy of Sciences in Tsinghua, at the university's medical school, have discovered that this shape-shifting liquid metal they have created for new machines is able to, quote, eat materials and use energy from that to propel itself forward, end quote. One of the doctors there has said, quote, the soft machine looks rather intelligent and can deform itself according to the space it voyages in, just like the Terminator does from the science fiction film. These unusual behaviors perfectly resemble the living organisms in nature, end quote. Now, they say the machine's design is very simple. The motor is made from a material called galenstan, which is an alloy derived from gallium, indium, and tin. The machine stays liquid when situated at room temperature. Through various experiments, the research team placed the object in various materials like sodium hydroxide and was placed in close contact to a flake of aluminum. They say the flake was the first thing it decided to eat. They say the alloy digested the flake for fuel, allowing the liquid motor to roam around on its own for around an hour from that meal. The machine can eat various food it would find in nature. In the paper they released, the researchers define it as truly being something like a synthetic organism, which they have also compared to a biomimetic mollusk.
Biomimetic mollusk.
Does any of that just feel a bit unsettling to you, Sam the Animal?
I was pulling up some video I want to share with you during the break of a robot that has just been unveiled by Toshiba. And okay. She is a Japanese hostess. They're thinking they'll use her with elderly or dementia patients. But it's freakishly way, way, way too real. It's really crazy.
Eats cats.
But it's no mollusk.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, I've got a story for you from our favorite state. And it is about what happened to a woman who heard a strange noise at night. She thought it must have been her cat under her bed. that she reached under and what she touched was not her cat. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's presented by Wright's Coin Shop. It's called Speaking of Strange. Yes, the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. I am Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. The number to Wright's, 828-298-5402. And you know, Shelley Wright, I just want to mention that some wonderful friends of ours, yours, mine, Lauren's, a lot of the people that we know are Tony and Dakota. And they are getting married next Saturday on April the 11th.
So happy for them.
In Charleston, South Carolina. And I'm sad that I'm in Puerto Rico and I'm not going to be able to make it there for the wedding. But, you know, they have been wonderful friends of ours for so long, so many years. And Tony and Dakota, if you're listening, you're great people. I have no doubt that this is going to be the happiest day of your life and set the tone for the rest of your lives. And I want you to know that all of us love you. We're thinking about you. We're so happy for you guys. So congratulations. And when I do see you again, we will party our butts off to make up for any time lost. Wouldn't you say the same, Miss Wright?
Yes, I would. You said it very well.
Okay, great. Okay.
Summed it up nicely.
It's
great. Okay.
Woohoo! We love you!
Yeah. It's hard to be sentimental when you're a General George Patton blood and guts type of guy like me, Sam, you know?
Yeah.
I'm too hard on the inside.
Yeah. And you also carry around a riding crop. So,
well, okay, here's a story from Palm Springs, Florida. Speaking of weird places in a weird month. So, many of you can relate to the shock this lady got. They say it's the stuff that some horror movies are made of. A 61-year-old woman in Florida. She was looking for her cat. She heard some interesting noises, and it says she merely stuck her hand under her bed looking for her cat, but instead of feeling cat fur, she felt human skin.
Ew! Oh.
And they say that human skin was on the arm of a 25-year-old man who had entered her home there with nefarious purposes in mind. They say homes in that area are valued at a lot of money, and he apparently had slipped in there to steal from her. They say, thank goodness, when she touched him, he came rolling out from underneath there. It's a wonder she didn't have a heart attack. And then he ran from her house, careened over a fence, and running in a westerly direction. They called, of course, the authorities, and police were able to catch him, actually, near a canal. Authorities were able to cart him back to the home so that she could identify him as being the man who had entered her home. And it turns out he'd been there for quite a while, because when he got in there, he had enough time to remove an ankle bracelet and digital camera, because this guy was already in trouble. I guess he was out on some kind of bail or probation or something like that. And so, thank goodness, he just ran away. This could have ended in a much worse fashion. They say this isn't the only thief who's been found at an odd location or doing odd things during their crime spree. Just recently, a woman in Kansas caught a naked thief in her kitchen standing there eating cookie dough.
I do that on a pretty consistent basis.
But at least it's your own house.
Okay. Could have happened to any of us, right, Sam?
Naked cookie dough, check and check.
Are you you two slushy fans?
Oh, I love them, but you can't get a good one here in Asheville. I mean, the best one you're going to get is like at the theater for some reason, and it's like 800 ounces, and it's several dollars. You go to different gas stations. I mean, you got your Slurpee, but that's proprietary to a 7-Eleven, which we don't have here. Icy's are, you know, their own thing, and some of them can be very good, but it depends on how the person has it set up. It can be very airy to save. It's just hard to find a good one around here. Do you know where a good one is at?
Well, I must say, I avoid high-calorie, non-alcoholic drinks.
And it looks, it's very noticeable in your physique. You know?
Yeah. And so, who makes slushies? Is that proprietary to anybody, or I don't even know?
Slurpee, 7-Eleven, slushy, I don't know if that's...
I don't know.
Yeah. See, I'm out of touch with the common man. I don't understand love and romance and weddings and slushies. It's all foreign to me. I'm like the Terminator, liquid metal man.
Just Google it.
Well, it says here in Philadelphia, at 3 o'clock in the morning, the door of the city bus opened up. I guess this thing must run 24/7, and the bus driver was surprised to see a 4-year-old girl all by herself come walking onto the bus in a purple raincoat, because it was a very rainy night. And it says she just looked as happy as can be. She plopped down in the seat, swinging her legs, and all she chanted is, quote, I want a slushie, I want a slushie.
I read that. I was very impressed, because, like, she'll probably be very independent. She's obviously doing well on her own. I couldn't take the bus system in Philadelphia when I was there.
She knows what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. I can't imagine doing that when I was 4 years old. So it says here, authorities say the girl's family didn't even know that she had awoken and just unlocked the back door to start her trek during that downpour on an early Friday. The bus driver himself is a father of three, and he said he was scared for the girl but found her adventure funny. He says, well, at least he knew she was in good hands, so he stopped the bus and called police, and they took the girl to the hospital where she was reunited with her mother.
So she didn't get the slushie?
No mention of her getting that slushie.
I thought that the story was going with the bus driver. She's in good hands. He stops the bus. She gets a slushie. He takes her home.
See, I saw the video, and I think she was just having conversations with various different passengers.
No,
and then he heard, I want a slushie, and looks and is like, where's your mama?
She ends up in a cop car and at the hospital.
I don't have any kids.
Cute.
I don't have any kids, but I'm imagining if that was my kid, I'd be like, you're not getting a slushie until you're 14 now.
I'm kidding.
You're grounded.
I'm so glad you're okay. I'm going to kill you.
You know, I have a shaved ice machine at the house. I could bring it here in the studio when you come back to Asheville. We could have shaved ices every show night.
Well, that would that bring you in the door a little faster, wouldn't it? So let's see here. It says the cops did not find anything amiss at the house and have no plans to file any charges. So, again, one of those stories that could have ended up, you know, really turning out badly, but thank goodness it didn't. It was just quirky. Okay, let's see. Next story, they say here, you should not try to rob a bank by taxi, especially if you're drunk. But that's what a man did in Tallahassee, Florida. 46-year-old man, he arrived at the Central City Bank. He owed the taxi cab driver $25.50, and he told the driver, quote, I'll take care of you when I come out, end quote.
Oh.
The man then walked into the bank and asked to speak to the manager. He told the manager, I'm here to rob the bank, and thought if I just ask you to assist me, we could avoid upsetting everyone. He said he had a .357 and a C4 plastic explosive to blow the place up if he didn't get $100,000. They say the man seemed drunk and he was slurring his words and all that kind of stuff. Well, he apparently was taking a sweet time because the people at the bank had enough time to notify the cops, who were able to intercept the man while he was still there at the bank. So it says when they arrested him, they had to use a stun gun on him when they went in there. And they say he actually ended up being taken to a nearby hospital to be treated for stun gun wounds. But they say while he was there, he told police he was wearing two pairs of pants and two shirts, figuring if he removed one pair after the robbery, he would not look like the suspect. He also said he had a fake beard in the pocket of the other pants.
So now he's thinking.
He had a plan.
Cooking with Crisco.
Yeah, but he definitely overlooked some of the more fundamental aspects of pulling off a bank robbery, and so he is he's in jail right now and probably will be for a very long time.
15 years, I believe.
Melanie.
When we come back, here are a couple interesting stories we'll try to get to. One of them is about a new patent that has been filed by Boeing. They have created what is being called a Star Wars-like force field. This is really cool. I actually watched a video about this. I'll explain. And then if we have time, I have a story from the UK about a man who used a very ingenious method, and so incredibly simple, really, to escape from prison. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual. Keeping you company tonight and presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop. This is Speaking of Strange.
You only come a ten about twice a year.
strangers around the globe. This show is called Speaking of Strange, and I am Joshua P. Warren. It's brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and we are in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's program. Coming up next hour, well, we're going to talk about a variety of things. We're going to start with one of my favorite things to point out every April, and that is why April is such a weird month. It is, for many people, and has been throughout all history for many people, a bad luck month. But not just bad luck, also a month when just very bizarre paranormal things happen, significant things happen. I'm going to go down a historic list and point it out for you, and then give you some of my own thoughts on as to why that may be. And then, of course, tomorrow is Easter. And over the years, because this show has usually come on Saturday nights, we have frequently done different Easter-oriented things where we all have, you know, people come on and talk about theology or whatever. Well, tonight, we're going to dig a little bit into the mystery of miracles. And it's not going to be some kind of, like, uplifting, light, fruity material. No, I want to talk about the reality that it may be possible for the fabric of space-time to just sort of slip or pop or loosen up once in a while, and things can happen that just aren't supposed to happen. And yet, scientifically, how do we classify that? How do we grasp it? We're going to dig into some of that and more coming up next hour. A couple things I want to get around to before we leave you this hour, though. I recently watched a video about this. Pretty cool. Boeing has patented a new technology that many people are comparing to force fields used in science fiction productions like Star Wars. But it doesn't resist any sort of physical object that might be intruding. It is designed specifically to prevent shock waves from explosions harming a target. Because they say that, you know, when it comes to these tanks and other systems that are being used on the battlefield, they've gotten pretty darn good at creating materials that are so strong that they can deflect shrapnel and most of the physical pieces that cause harm, as long as you're, you know, behind them. But the shock wave that continues to go and pass through those things is causing severe brain trauma. Because you can imagine, you may not get the little pieces of shrapnel and the bullets and whatnot stuck into your body, but if your head gets jolted to the side and your brain slams back and forth, well, you know, that can be just as deadly. So what they have come up with is this system that essentially works by placing two powerful electrodes in various positions around something that is a potential target, like a tank. And the electrodes are capable of producing an extremely powerful, hot electric arc that lasts just for a split second. Now, what happens is the electrodes are able to detect when there is a shock wave coming. Now, we're talking about sensors that are literally operating with a split-second notice. They sense there's a shock wave coming. When this happens, they produce this big arc of electricity, and it creates a heat bubble that goes instantly expanding, and that heat bubble is able to deflect the shock wave because apparently you can bend the shock waves just like a lens can bend light. And so it's really ingenious. It's fairly simple at the same time. And they say it's, something that is leaning us in the direction of plasma-type force field. So that's pretty cool, and it goes to show you just how advanced the thinking is getting about those things. One more story I'll share with you before we have to go. This is from the UK. They say a man there named Neil Moore has escaped from a prison called Wadsworth Prison. How did he do it? He sent a fake email to the prison wardens saying that he was to be released. They say that the guy had figured out in prison how to set up a fake web domain, which closely resembled that of the court service's official address, and then he emailed the prison's custody inbox with instructions for his release, and it worked. They let him out.
Nice.
He was gone for days before they realized he wasn't supposed to be gone. The judge there who's looking into this says this guy is an ingenious criminal, and he was in there for using various aliases to commit fraud worth millions and millions of dollars. So they say this guy is a good trickster, and apparently they, I believe, if I'm not sure if they've caught him again or not, but that's a tip for the future. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The show is called Speaking of Strange, and we'll get on to hour two right after these messages.